Well, we thank Mr. Baker for the warm words of welcome. It's lovely to be with you here to bring a report of my work. I break it up into three parts. I bring a short message from the Bible, and then a report of the field from what we're doing, and then, of course, I'm on the big screen. So I've got famous and on the screen here behind, and hopefully it goes, and hope it goes very well. So lovely to be along, and we pray God will bless us here together as we meet around his word. So we're going to go first of all to the Bible in 2 Corinthians and the chapter 4. 2 Corinthians and the chapter 4. I'll say a few things from this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll read from the verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint. I gave you the wrong book, didn't I? No, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Okay, we faint not. Verse 2, but have announced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we certainly pray God to bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. I want to look at verse 3 of this particular chapter. It says, but if our gospel, it is hid to them that are lost. And so we have a little lesson here about the hidden gospel. When you look at the life of the Apostle Paul, you will see that here was a man given over completely to the gospel. It says in Romans 1 and verse 1 that he was separated onto the gospel of God. And the gospel was his life. He had given up everything for the sake and the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. He talks here, first of all, about the possession of the gospel. He says, it's our gospel. And this gospel is ours. And what we find here, God had placed this great message, it tells us here, this treasure in earthen vessels. He had placed it not only in his hands, but he placed it in his heart. And he says, you know, this great message of Christ, he says, it's our gospel. And you glad tonight you belong to the denomination that has the gospel? Well, I am. I'm glad I belong to the denomination that has the gospel of Christ. There are many churches near and far. Our brother, Mr. Baker, here is from Lewis, England. And they may have many things in their churches, but they haven't got the gospel. Well, boys, I'm glad we have the gospel of Christ. There are times I have preached a handful of people. I think one particular meeting in Scotland, there was a woman on the organ, there's a lady here, and a man over there. And there I was at the evening gospel service. And you know, I preached as if there was 200 in the place. Because I tell you this, I had the gospel. And you're glad we have the gospel. He had the possession of the gospel and the preaching of it. You only have to follow his life in the book of Acts. And he went here, there, and yonder and preaching this glorious message of Christ. Remember, he's the one who said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. So it's good enough to have the gospel. And that's a real blessing. But you know something? We've got to preach it. And we're glad to see Mr. Baker and those who go out in the open air. We haven't been around for a period of time, doing other things, of course, but going out to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And he's a man, and he believed about the power of the gospel. He says he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone which believeth. He believed in the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He saw lives transformed. He saw cities transformed and companies transformed in the life-saving message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And why is it tonight that every one of us is in this meeting? Because we have experienced the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful change in all our lives has been wrought since Jesus came in to our hearts. So Paul had all these things about the gospel, but I want to center in about the problem with the gospel, because he says about the gospel be hid. It's hid to them that are lost. And so in his life and in his ministry, there was a time when the gospel was hid. And no doubt, as we'll see in a moment or two, in Newton Ards, to the greater majority of people tonight, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is hid. Now, I want to say a few things, and I don't want to be too long. The hidden gospel, what do we see? The hand of Satan. We do not have to go too far to see who is hiding the gospel. It is the work of the devil. In verse 4, immediately after telling us about the hidden gospel, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. And the Apostle Paul tells us here immediately that the old devil, he goes out to hide the gospel. He throws a veil over the minds of people. He throws a veil over the gospel. And he does this, can I say it just very quick? He does this quickly. The devil is not behind a bush and hiding the gospel. Remember the Lord Jesus tells us in the parable over there in Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, about sowing the seed, and when the seed has fallen into the hearts of people, here's what he said, then cometh the devil and taking the word out of their hearts, lest they believe and be saved. But notice the connection. As soon as the gospel is preached and it falls into the hearts of people, then the devil comes. And the devil's very quick off the mark to hide this glorious message from the hearts and lives of your family, your friends, your neighbors, and the people in this congregation as well. He's very quick, and he hides it intentionally. Now, I am at the grandfather stage now. I have now 11 grandchildren. It's hard to believe, but that's where I am. And the children want to play sometimes hide and seek. But you know, it's only a game. And sometimes I had to play with them. But the devil's not playing the game. He's not playing the game of hide and seek. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he can achieve by hiding this life-changing message of Jesus Christ. And he hides it intentionally. He doesn't want people to come to Christ. He doesn't mind them saying a few prayers, going to a little church, being a wee bit religious. But he doesn't want them to come in contact with this life-saving message of Jesus Christ. And so he hides it intentionally. He doesn't want people to come to Christ. And he knows what he's doing. Sometimes, can I say, he hides it violently. What I mean by that? You can see, of course, when you read the Gospels, he raids up people, even Apostle Paul, who wrote these words before his conversion, he was full of anger. He was full of rage. He was full of hatred against the Lord Jesus Christ and his people. And he tells himself that he cast people into prison and some were put to death, and he gave his voice against them. You see, sometimes the devil has a hobnail boots on him. As we would say, he wants to hide the gospel. And he stirs up people with violence and rage against the gospel of Christ. We know today over this world there are people and they're locked up. Now you and I have liberties. Praise the Lord for our wee land of Ulster, and we love it. We love our wee province. Along may we live with the freedom that we have today in our land. But in some lands you can hardly mention the name of Christ. And people are cast into prison. Oh no, the devil is very violent. He does it all so subtly. What I mean by that? He changes the message. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. It says about he's an angel of light. It tells us it's his ministers. It says about another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit. The old devil is very subtle. He puts another message in place of the true gospel of Jesus Christ. He doesn't want people to come to the truth. He doesn't want them to be saved. And he hides. He hides the gospel, and he does it very subtly. And there are people today running to different churches throughout our land today, and they think they're right with God, and they think they're on their way to heaven, but they've been blinded by the God of this world, being deceived by him. Of course, he confuses it, he changes the message, and then, of course, the mind. He blinds the mind of them which believe not. Do you ever talk to people? Talk to them all the time indoors? Some people will look at you and say, I just can't understand it. I just can't understand the Bible, of course. The natural man cannot, of course. But the gospel. Well, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. May we always preach the gospel with simplicity. I never complicate the message. But yet there's people here, it's a simple preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, I just can't understand it. You see, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. He hides the very thing that people need. And in this land and in this town, of course, there's people. And of course, they cannot understand the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But can I say to you, there's also a hell for sinners. The gospel will be hid. It's hid to them that are lost. Now, you know tonight, being a Bible-believing church, and people's lost naturally. You don't have to do anything to be lost. Born in sin and shaped in iniquity. I meet some people in my outreach, and they hate that, of course. They hate original sin, but that's the teaching of the Bible. And people today are lost naturally. The Lord Jesus said that the man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And, of course, people are lost intellectually. What I mean by that, they have not got a notion what the Bible says. Take, for instance, of sin. There are people you meet, they drink the bit out, they curse the bit out, and many other sins along with that. And if you talk to them, what they say, I'm going to heaven. I don't do anybody any harm. So what I'm saying here to you is, they're lost intellectually, about the Savior, about the way of salvation. They have not got a clue. You just take whatever box you want, do a few good works, say a few prayers, well, and you'll get to heaven. And they're lost intellectually. But I want you to grasp this tonight. They're lost eternally. The gospel will be hid, it's hid to them that are lost eternally in hell. Because the only message that can rescue them is the gospel. The only one who can save the soul is Jesus Christ. And if the gospel remains hid to the people of Newton Norwich and to your members of your family that's not saved, and your friends and your neighbours, they'll be lost, and they'll be lost for all eternity. And so there's a hell for sinners. It's a solemn thing when the gospel is hid to many people. You see, there is a hell for sinners. Can I say lastly about the hidden gospel? What's the hope? The heart of the Saviour. You know, the wonderful thing is this. Satan hides. He hides it. But God uncovers this great message. Not the gospel. And how does he do this? Well, the preaching of his servants. Look at verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And what does he do? He sends his servants out into the world. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what we do. That's what God's servant here is going out tomorrow. To preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what I do in my missions and so on. As you hear in a moment or two about my work. We go out to preach the gospel. But I want to say it to you tonight. That's not enough. We can preach, and we do preach sometimes, as if we're blue in the face. It's not enough. We need the power of the Spirit of God. That's what we need. That's what it says in verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts, to give the light of a knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Send the light. God sends the light. And he takes the scales of people's eyes, and they see Christ, and they see their need of the Lord Jesus, and they come and they trust him. So we need the Lord to send the light. And sometimes we sing that little hymn, don't we? Send the light. The blessed gospel light. And some people get saved. And somebody's talking about them. And say, but did you hear about so-and-so? Well, what was that? They saw the light. But you know, there's a lot of truth in that. At the cross where I first saw the light. And that's what we need. We need God to do this. And thank God he does do it. Now, our job is to preach the gospel. And pray, Lord, send the light. Send the light to the people here. We're in Newton Orange tonight. And to the people of our problems. And that many will come and trust him. The thing that amazed me when I got saved. I'm from Glenann, outside Market Hill. And there was a wee gospel hall at the corner called the CWU. And of course I went there as a wee child. But I didn't hear nothing. We carried on and all the rest of it. But I'm not going that route tonight. But you know the thing that amazed me. When I got saved and I looked across. Just across from my front door. The gospel was being preached in my village every week, and I never knew it. And it hit my heart. This life-saving message of Christ was being preached in my village every week, and boys, I never knew it. Why was that? Because the gospel was hid. I've been back to my village a number of times, done mission. Did one colony, did a driving mission. And around the home through neighbours and people I knew me from the past, I want to tell you this. The gospel still hid to many people. Most of them. The greater majority. In my little village. So, the hidden gospel. We need to pray, we need to preach, and the God will reveal the glorious light and the truths of the gospel to many people. Because if we don't, they'll be lost. The only hope for people, Newton Ards, the gospel. People in your family, the gospel. People in this congregation without Christ, is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, but God, write those three words to all of our hearts. Now, I want to go on to my next part, part two here. First of all, I want to thank Mr. Baker here for having me along. He says I was his first pastor, whatever you want to call it, plaster, maybe more like it. But he learned all his bad habits. I agree with that with me. He got me rough and ready when I was over in England. We had great times in England, is that right? There's times only a handful at the services, and we really enjoyed preaching the Word of God in Lewis and Jar Chapel, and always fond memories. And every time I go over maybe a couple of times a year to preach on it, and it's really going back home again. It's like a second home again in the town of Lewis. So I want to thank him, the session, the committee, for being able to come along and to give a report of my work for the Lord. People come, I have no doubt, from Spain. People come from Africa. Well, I come from Northern Ireland and from Northern Ireland, and I come to give a report of the work of the Lord. Now, I want to turn the clock back a wee bit, and I'm going to go back 3 years, because I go around the church every 3 years now. I'm not keeping you all night if I'm talking about every week or every day 3 years. So I want to go back to January, February 2020. That was a very special time for me, because it was in January to February 1990 that I commenced the evangelistic work full time for Christ. Came out of college, did my thesis, and I started with a mission in Silent Valley Orange Hall. And so I went back to where I started off. Now, I've been there before that, of course, but I went back specifically because it was 30 years ago I started full-time preaching as an evangelist. And we had a great mission. There was one man professed faith in Christ in that particular mission, and we had a great time preaching the Word of God. And after that, I was asked then, would I go to Tasmania? The Reverend Ralph Hall was going to come home, and he was doing deputations when I go and fill in. I've been over a number of times. Mr. Priestley has done that as well, I think, a few times over. And we're substitutes sometimes. So I says, well, I'll go over and fill in for 4 weeks in preaching. And while I was over there, everybody knows what happened at the beginning of 2020. We saw these fellas walking about with boiler suits on in China. And we wonder what is going on. Well, we soon found out COVID had broke out. Of course, there's me stuck down the other end of the world. Now, the weather was nice, granted, and all the rest of it. But that's away from my family. And, of course, they put this announcement out. If you don't live in Australia, you better get on the plane and get home. And, of course, I was glad to get home. So I flew home, of course, and I says to Joan, this whole thing we've done and dusted in a couple of weeks. Well, everybody knows it wasn't done and dusted in a couple of weeks. Well, I had no work. My work all vanished. My missions, everything. I didn't have a congregation like some people who could go on the internet and preach. Though I did get some opportunities to do that. But anyway, all my missions, everything was out the window for months. It actually was furloughed. So I gave myself to reading and studying and getting ready. So I'm going to get ready, get everything prepared. And you're just waiting to get out. And they're waiting and waiting to get out. But you know yourself, it took donkeys to get out. Well, in September, I thought, I wonder if I could out to do open air. So I phoned Colin Maxwell. And I hadn't been talking to Colin for a long time. And hadn't even talked to him about this. And I says, Colin, what are you at? He says, he's furloughed. He's locked up like myself. Well, he says, do you fancy going out to do open airs? Aye. He's ready to go out the next morning. I says, well, hold on, I'd go too, but we better go through the challenge. Maybe some people from the mission board here tonight. We better go to the mission board and tell them, here's what we're thinking of doing. We're thinking of going out, and we're thinking of doing preaching the gospel. So we put it out, we're going to get wee speakers, a table. You've seen us in operation here in Newton Ards. So of course, put it to them, so they told us to go out. So I went out, you thought I was going to do an operation at the hospital. I had to put gloves on me, had to have a mask on me, and all the rest of them, I could do that. Well, we're right on the street with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we've been here a number of times. We love coming to Newton North. We haven't forgotten about this, but we're busy at other things at the minute, and we'll have to get back sometime. We're around different towns, and even Uri, which is a Roman Catholic town, and into that middle of that town, and just set up where we went and preached up to Worm Point, Oma, and Dungannon, Armagh, Purdy down, Belfast, went to Dublin one time, and different all, but just got a wee circuit going, and away we went, and we put on music, and then of course we preach and give out tracts, and you saw us here in operation. And street work, of course, you're reaching people with the gospel, and there's so many foreigners in our land today, people from different countries, and we're reaching all types of people, and we're meeting people who's held by drugs and held by booze and held by sin, and we're meeting people who's down in the very depths of despair life. I remember in Dungannon, I was standing giving out tracts. This woman came up the street and she was carrying two bags, and there's a man with her, she's holding the two of them. And I just said, of course, you're out doing a wee bit of shopping. And she said, it's liquid shopping. And I said, oh, you're not on the drink, are you? So I looked at her, she was, with two bags of drink. I said, that's terrible. But you know, she told me the story. And she told me why. And her daughter, I think, had a child. And then her daughter committed suicide. And the poor woman was broken. And what did she reach for? She reached for the bottle. But I was glad to meet her and give her some tracts and tell her, Christ says, come unto me, all you labour and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And so we got speaking to people. You speak to people who's held by sin, people who's been in prison, you know yourself, and people who's held by drugs. Of course, they come and tell you a great story. But you know what's going to be the end of the story, right? We need money. So we know it. But I don't give them money. I say, listen, tell you what I do for you. Come on in here, get you something to eat. I'll get you something to eat. But of course, some of them don't even want that. But nevertheless, you meet all types of people, of course. You give encouragement and God's people. And as I said, our wee province is a tremendous land. You know yourself here. You knock doors. I'm down in Carrick knocking doors out of the day, Colin and I. And you meet Christians. And they're not free peas now, of course, but they're saved. And it's wonderful. You can knock doors. Mr. Baker tell you, you'll knock a lot of doors in Lewis before you meet a Christian. And anywhere, in Scotland and other places. But our wee province is so blessed. And God's people are sprinkled all over. And it's wonderful. And they encourage you. And I encourage them. And they encourage me. And so we meet all types of people, of course, in the ministry. Now, I thank also the Lord that our wee province, you are allowed to preach the gospel. That doesn't mean we didn't have our battles. There's people, of course, came against us. There's people threatening to get the police. There's a man did get the police. And some people now say to us, well, we're going for the police. I always said to them, listen, phone them. Go phone them there, since I, we are. And stand there, they come. Go ahead. You phone away. I preach away. And let them. Plus, the wonderful thing about it is this. We're allowed to preach the gospel in our land. And there was a wee incident came with Newcastle, and they tried to stop us. I had to go through all these hoops, in a sense, went in Uri, and they were putting the big foot down on me and Col. Of course, we got a bit of help from Christian Institute, and they wrote a letter, and was sent to them, and Uri had to come back and tell me, go ahead and preach. Go ahead. And just watch the noise and all this crack. But what should we do, of course? But we thank the Lord for the liberties of preaching the gospel. One time we went to Bond Bridge, and in Bombridge that particular day, in the morning paper, the Bombridge Chronicle was this big write-up about street preaching in the town, causing an awful bother. And they're calling their rave. They said, oh, look at this here. Front page, a full page. It's a street preaching in Bombridge. But it wasn't me and Colin, just in case. It wasn't us. But people didn't know who it was. I says, what is it? So he says, well, we'll go ahead. And if you know Bombridge, there's two lanes up one side and down the other side, the centre reserve. We just park ourselves right in the centre of the middle of the roads, and there's roads here and roads there. They sign up, and there we were starting the meeting, and this boy was coming up the street, and he didn't even park his car in, he just parked the car in the middle of the road. And he was coming, he got out of the car, and he was coming over towards Colin and I. I was just going to say to Colin, see, I didn't know what was going to happen this morning. He's going to be hiding something to speak of. So, all right. We didn't know what was going to happen. But here the man came over and he put his hand out. And he says, I want to thank you, boys, for coming out on the street. He said, that was terrible what I read in the paper, sir, today, he said. And he really, really encouraged us to go out on the streets with the gospel of Christ. So we're very glad of that. Now, you know, we've been doing estate work, Colin and I, doing drive-in missions, Mullow Glass, Market Hill, Money Slane. There's a couple of people who profess faith, and one of Money Slane, right up to Tullyvonnell as well, right up in the south Armagh border, not far from there in Glenann. And we had a great meetings around the dark nights, standing, preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we've been doing those things over the last couple of years. And then, of course, Colin, he would go down to the south around June time. So I do had the Bible clubs and children's meetings and 5-day clubs as the Lord opens up for me as well. And we thank the Lord that some children we met in Annalong is actually now coming to the children's meeting. And it's been a real encouragement. I remember one day being in a house in Guildford one time and also then in Annalong and into the estate. And all the wee children, when they looked at me, they saw me, they shouted, "The Bible Man! The Bible Man!" Now, he didn't shout the Baldy Man. He shouted, "The Bible Man!" That's what he's thinking. Well, you know, I have many nicknames. So my village, we were brought up, that's how you spoke of everybody. Everybody had nicknames. But boys, I didn't mind somebody calling me the Bible Man. For then we children who run about the streets and all along, and then that one time in Guildford, they knew what I'm about, the Bible. So thank the Lord for the times we work with the children. Calendar work and also in Hilltown, giving out calendars and all of these things. But I wanted to get back to the missions, you see, because I love the old-fashioned missions and the preaching of the gospel of Christ. And so in 2021, it was the end of that year, we actually got a mission in Limavady, Free Presbyterian Church. And it was winter and it was cold. But you know something? The people from the congregation came out and we had a good old-fashioned gospel mission. And I was getting back in there, just looking forward to getting back in. And God opened up the doors then, 2022 there. We were in Bessbrook and Newcastle and Shankill. And I can hardly read my writing here. Garver, Bonbridge and that. Going around and preaching the word of God right up there to the summer of last year. Now after that then, of course, in summer I did also, as I say, 5-day clubs as well, Holy Bible clubs. In September I did a Holy Bible club for Ballymacurney. And then I was asked to go to Uganda. I was over to Uganda for about 4 weeks now. I really, really enjoyed Uganda. I really enjoyed it and preaching the Word of God. What opportunity. He said, unbelievable. The prison, the school, 2 assemblies a day. And then there was the open air. You got the whole bunch in the back of this wagon. And away we went and preached the gospel around different places. And then one day I was going out. And I said, Lord, I'm going to go out here and do door-to-door work. Now, I can't really speak too much Ugandan language. I hardly speak English. but I'm going to go out here. So I got my tracks and all into a bag. And I said to the fellow, I'm away out here to visit the homes right here with the gospel. And I walked through the iron gate. There's a gate you had to go out through the school. And you know, as soon as I walked through that gate, there were 2 motorbikes come past. And they stopped with me. Now, one of them. And then the school, there's 3 in that motorbike. And I got talking to him. I was saying to him, I'm heading out here to do some outreach. And he looked at me and he says, this fella here could go with you. And there's a young lad there, 23 years old. You call him January. That's his name. And I didn't know him. Never met him in my life. I says, he'll go with you. But you know something? The whole thing was of God. That young fella was a great help to me. Around the doors. And I thought about it. What's the chance of walking out through that gate and God had a man waiting on me that I knew nothing about to help me to bring the gospel to the people? I saw the hand of God, the providential dealing of God. 5 minutes out of way, we would have missed each other. But God had a man. Sometimes when you take a step of faith, God opens up the way. And we have great opportunities. Great opportunities. If we go to people's houses and say, have you ever heard about the Lord Jesus Christ? I was there to January and he told them and then they came back to him and says, no, or a wee bit, but we want to know more. And you know, the opportunities were endless. on the road, around the homes, and telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. So I really had a blessed time there in Uganda. Came back with a good mission to Ballinahinch, Londonderry, calendar work, and Hilltown, over to Lewis for about 10 days as well. Did some street work and preaching the gospel. And in January, the week of prayer, thank God, a number of missions has opened up. Now, Colin and I are working together at the minute. The missions we part around June, as you probably know. With a number of missions, we're actually in Carrick. And at the moment, we did finish a mission there in Marlin, just outside Lurgan. And with a great mission, well supported by God's people. No outward signs, but nevertheless, we have a good witness for Christ in the preaching of the gospel. Now we're in Carrickfergus. We're doing doors this week and next week. And then we're going to have a two-week mission. So pray for us at the minute as we go around Carrickfergus with the gospel. Castle Caulfield, we're heading there next. And that's way outside Dungannon. And then we're heading over to Isle of Man. And that will be in April. And then John Knox to Shankill in May. And then Colin will be going his way. And then I have another mission. Just have to get a rubber stamp for June. And there's other missions planned throughout the year. So we thank the Lord for opening up the way and to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So pray for us. Northern Ireland needs, of course, the gospel. And people need to hear this life-changing message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say lastly, I want to thank God's people. There's no people like God's people. I say that, and they're salt of the earth. I find that as I go around the works, the churches, because only for them I would not be in the work. And that is right, because I am supported by God's people throughout the Free Presbyterian Church. And I want to thank those who support me financially in any way. Maybe some people here is on the covenant scheme, or give gifts to me, or a deputation work. I want to thank you for that. And that is really, you say, I can't go and tell anybody. Well, there's people who say, I can't go, but I'll send sheaves and I support them, and he'll go, and he'll tell them that Jesus is mighty and he's powerful to save. So I want to thank all those who can support us, and I want to thank you for all your financial giving and also your prayerful support as well. We need you to pray for us, and pray for Colin and I as we labour together in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone said that we are the two last witnesses in Revelation, but I don't know if that's right or not. Mr. Patrick, he's a prophet. He'll be able to keep you right on that. But we're out preaching the gospel. I thank the Lord for the message, and thank the Lord for the opportunity to tell people in our beloved land of Jesus Christ, the one who's mighty to save. So thank you very much for having me along, and we trust the Lord will bless those few thoughts.